Is episodes once a week not enough for you, or are you looking for more technical information from the Mixing Music Podcast? Well, guess what? Now you can. You can subscribe to our exclusive content and triple the amount of episodes that you get access to. That's right. Instead of the free once a week episodes, you get 3 episodes a week for only $4 a month or $40 a year. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/exclusive to get access to those episodes now.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One, 2, 3.
Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host DK, and with me, as always, is Mix Bus Glue Lou.
Ooh, say that 5 times fast.
Mix Bus Glue Lou, Mix Bus Glue Lou, Mix Bus Glue Lou, Mix Bus Glue Lou, Mix Bus Glue Lou. Actually, that wasn't too bad.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad. It sounds like it would be worse.
And with us is special guest, mixer extraordinaire. We'll kind of go over all his history together on the show. We have the amazing, illustrious Tyler Scott.
Illustrious. I like that.
Is that a good adjective?
It's pretty good. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Thank you. Welcome to be here.
And we're glad that you're... Thank you for taking time to come out and hang out with us and talk about music.
Thank you for the invite, my man.
Yeah, so Tyler is awesome, and he's an amazing mix engineer, works with a lot of great artists. Do you want to talk about some of your history?
Sure, yeah.
Kind of like where you came up, and I know you were a drummer, and you assisted with someone, and all that jazz.
Yeah, well, I mean, so I'll keep it brief, but, grew up in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and was a jazz drummer kind of through high school. Ended up going to Berklee College of Music for music production engineering, was playing in big bands, and decided that I needed to do something else because I wasn't as good as I was hoping I was going to be on drums. So I was okay, but I definitely loved engineering side of it and wanted to dive deeper. So pursued down that road heavily, and once I graduated, ended up coming out here. Was fortunate enough to get an internship with Tony Maserati. And just studied and learned under him, for about, maybe about 4 or 5 years, I think. And, here we are.
That's crazy. And now you're working on great records as well. What kind of artists, are some of your favorite artists that you're working on right now and genres that you like to dabble in?
Yeah. I mean, genres, let's see. I do a lot of pop. I do a lot of R&B. I'm working with a really cool country artist right now. We got some things
country
in the
music.
Yeah. So Camille Parker, that's her name. But we got some still cool stuff coming up with her. But let's see, other artists. I did JoJo's recent album that just came out. I did that. Mm-hmm. Done some stuff for Jesse McCartney.
His project I saw just that came one. Out. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. But done a bunch of stuff with Chloe and Halle over the years. So yeah.
Yeah. Jesse McCartney's comeback.
Yeah,
he's been out for a second, right?
I think so. This new project, though, I think it's going to do well for him.
All right, so this is totally... I got to ask this question before we kind of get into this.
Yeah.
Mixing an R&B record, a rock record, a hip-hop record, what makes what do country mixers do? Like, what is a classical country mix, culturally speaking? What do they contain?
Ooh, are we talking like a more folky side, or like a ooh, more good pop question. Side?
Let's
or?
Let's say pop radio country.
More pop radio. There's definitely...
Like, what's the emphasis on?
If we're going to go like acoustic instruments, so like live drums, mm-hmm. definitely going to have like a strong kind of smacky compression on the drums, vocal nice in the middle up front, and you're just big, compressed sounding, which is just a super cool vibe.
Yeah.
So I really like it. I'm trying to do something a little different just on what we're doing. But yeah, I think that's probably like a classic sort of thing.
Well, what's kind of your vibe that you're bringing to it?
Well, I mean, for one, the music itself isn't like a straight down the middle sort of country kind of vibe. So there's R&B influences. There's other kind of pop influences, influences to it. So I would say it's country sensibilities with kind of a more modern R&B low-end type of vibe, and then just room to be free and creative.
So it's like an R&B country fusion.
In a way. I don't want to put labels on it. It's hard. Yeah. I don't even know how we genre anything anymore.
To be
honest.
Yeah, there's been so many mixes lately. It's like, I don't know what this is, but it's good.
There was a music manager for a Netflix show. And I heard them once saying that usually music that gets big and is liked by an audience tends to nowadays be some sort of a fusion of something that nobody's ever heard, or that people are familiar with both sides but never really together. So that's very interesting.
Yeah.
Do you remember when Jay-Z and Linkin Park made an album together? And it was
they
just
made an
really,
album?
Yeah. I mean, technically, it's more like it was remixes. It was songs that Linkin Park already had released, and they were already very successful. Then Linkin Park decided to work with Jay-Z, and Jay-Z decided to rap over him, and it was really cool. But it was a big deal when it came out, like huge.
For my fusion album, it was Distant Relatives with Damian Marley and Nas. Mm. That was a good album, and that wasn't remixes; those were all original songs.
I need to listen to that.
It's a good record. It's a good album. Distant Relatives. Anyway, so we're going to get into today's topic. We were talking about what we should talk about, and Tyler was talking about overcompression and how to avoid it, how to notice it, and kind of like what are some sure signs of when it's compressed too much? So let's talk about this. So what are some adjectives, and how would you describe a music that is correctly compressed? Like a good amount of compression.
So in general terms, because there's we gotta say like there's no correct way, I guess, or proper way, right? So disclaimer out there. But I think a good way to think about it is using compression for a sort of a color, for tones, but still allowing the song to have dynamic and grow and change and move from section to section. And, you know, if a song is feeling too linear, or, you know, someone sends over a rough mix and it's just feeling like, oh, it's super kind of compressed and it's just exciting the whole time, that might be the vibe for the record, or it might not. A lot of times when I'm able to kind of pull it back and loosen it up a bit and get it to move the right way, clients tend to like that better. But
So I mean, there's a lot to do with the transients, like the feel, the bounce. I'm hearing this a lot, especially with the growth and the popularity of Afropop. And we heard it a lot in Michael Jackson records, like Earth, Wind & Fire, where there's a lot of percussion going on. And then on the opposite end of stuff that's overcompressed but also a vibe is, like, I love Wolfpack.
Oh, yeah.
With their, like, lo-fi funky drums and stuff. Those are my favorites, too. And they're definitely uniquely different. And that's interesting. And oftentimes, I've definitely heard a few songs, as I do mix revisions, or mix feedback every Monday night on Twitch. You can go to twitch.tv/DKMixes on, and on Monday nights usually. And oftentimes when people send in mixes for me to review and give feedback on, there are a few people that send in overcompressed songs where from section to section, there is not. And sometimes it's overcompression. Sometimes it's just lack of automation. And arrangement, lack of arrangement. But a lot of times it's overcompression, which then dramatically affects the low end. You hear that a lot. Things just don't punch through. It just, it feels like a wall of noise, you know? And for you, what are some, are there any records that you've worked on or that you've listened to that you're a fan of that had good examples of great compression that off the top of your mind? I know I'm putting you on the spot here.
I think, well,
even if it's stuff that you've worked on.
Well, I think one of my favorite, so I'll say this JoJo project that just came out. One of my favorite records on it was a song called Dissolve. And D Mile produced it. And one of my favorite producers and just songwriters and just a creative person. But the song came in and it sounded great already. Like, so it, you know, I really just try to take my time with it and not, and just make sure it had enough room for it to breathe and grow and get big by the end, and but not still be, you know, not be timid or anything through the verses or through the first verse. So I think, you know, I feel like I did a good job on it. on that one. So I am happy on how that one came out. You know, my buddy John Castelli, he had a great record he did for this country artist Cam, actually. And it's I believe it was called Redwood Tree or Redwood. But just a beautiful record, warm, deep, transient, had just growth to it. But I mean, also like the early mixes that Tony did for Shawn Mendes, like that record Stitches, I think.
Oh, it was
like
an
early record. I mean, so transient, so in your face, but that one still had like a, that sort of characteristic and color of like a, of that a compressor would have. And you know, it was just, it wasn't necessarily like a bunch of mix bus compression, cause I know that's not his style. But it's like just subtle little layers of just the sounds, how may they might've been already treated just on the stem itself. I think that was also a really good kind of record to check out.
Yep.
So I think it's fair to say that with compression, whether you do too much or too little, or when I say too much, I mean, you choose to do a lot more or you choose to do a lot less. It's definitely a taste thing, and there's no right answer, as you've kind of already explained.
So go ahead and do like a 20-to-1 ratio and just slam it.
Do it.
You know, this is, there's a lot of engineers right now that are talking about not looking at the gain reduction meter, just doing it by feel.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like that was said before. Too. I feel like it's always been use your ears.
Yeah.
So I mean, like, I think it's still, I mean, especially when we were learning, I think hearing compression was really difficult. Even now, like, sometimes I have to try really hard and then have to be honest with myself and say, yeah, I'm not really hearing the difference. at least a practical difference. So for anybody that's kind of new to compression here and looking for techniques to put in their arsenal, what are some of your favorite compressors, some favorite tools of yours, and some uses?
Well, I think one of my favorite compressors, it's a stock thing inside of Pro Tools called Clip Gain. And that's probably my first favorite.
It's not even a compressor.
Because I mean, we think about, you know, what the utility of what compression is, right? That's just controlling the dynamic range of a signal. So, you know, if we start off, if something's too loud or it's peaking in certain areas, just cut it out on the clip gain, or you can use the automation of it, just however you want to work, and just turn it down that little piece.
May I ask why you say clip gain and not volume?
So clip gain is, if you think about your order of, it's almost like order of operations in math. if you think about it, it's going to be pre all of your plugins, anything that you have on the track. So it's just, it's basically like you're reaching into the file or the stem and just turning that little piece of the waveform down or the whole thing. So I usually like to start there, and then if I want to put, we'll say it's a vocal, If I want to like further compress from that just for like some color, just like the sound of the plugin or the hardware unit that I might use, then one of my favorites to use as of right now, especially, is the Cream plugin or Cream 2 from Acoustica.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing sounding plugin.
Is that the one? Is that free?
It's am not
I thinking
free.
Of a, am I thinking of a different one?
It's not the free one.
Which one's
one?
The Cream one? What does that one emulate?
It's I believe it's emulating a RS-124 on one of the modes, and then on the other mode, there's like a B and a C. The other mode is a Zener, I believe.
Oh, right. That's that retro looking one.
Yeah, it's like kind of like a greenish color.
Yeah.
It's got like an EQ and a thing too, but I pretty much only use the.
Yeah, I think for a moment they were giving it out for free. I don't know if they're still doing that, but I have that one.
Yeah.
And you like that one a lot for the compression.
I love it. It's like my go to one.
I have not yet experimented with that. What's kind of your what's your favorite like settings on it?
Favorite settings are, I usually kind of fast, almost all the time, fast on the release, which is still fairly kind of slow on it, depending on what mode you're in. What else? The Schmod, I think they call it on there. I usually just kind of leave it just straight up the middle. I think that's kind of like an internal, like, attack release time type of thing going on. And then... Obviously, threshold wherever it needs to be.
Do you find yourself cranking it a lot or only doing a little bit? Or
really depends on it. Sometimes I'll do like a parallel thing with it. So maybe I'll kind of crank it a little bit more and then pull back the mix knob on it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I might just tap it. Sometimes I might not pull up any compression. It's just as soon as you put it in, it's got a little bit of saturation on it, right? So it just gets a signal might get a little bit brighter, a little bit of a tone. So sometimes that's just the vibe I'm looking for. So I'm like, God, I want this thing to have a little bit of a air quotes mojo, right? <Yeah. laughs> You know,
mojo.
So I'll throw that on there.
Dope. What else? What's another one?
So yeah, that was a great one. Hardware unit. You know, I love the retro stay level.
Mm.
It's great. It's a great
I'm currently
thing.
Saving up for one of those. I have two of the double wides and I love them, but
yeah,
the stay level is where it's at.
So what? So for anybody that's not familiar or have never used one, what about the stay level is just so enticing for you?
It's one of the few compressors that I've used that you can do an insane amount of gain reduction on and not hear a bunch of artifacts, I should say. So not that you always need to do a whole bunch of gain reduction, but sometimes it's a cool vibe. You can throw it in a parallel or just straight on there. But it also is just one of those things where it's one of the few compressors that I haven't heard a plugin get close to that sort of vibe or even a series of plugins.
What about the Arturia one? Have you tried that one?
I have tried it, and I do use it when I want to use like 50 of them. On something, right? So like,
so
or
it
on
gets
a bunch
close
of backgrounds,
enough.
It gets close enough, but it's not just quite the thing. And I'm pretty much an in the box guy. Like I'm like 99% in the box, and so if I can use a plugin on something, and then I will. The retro is it's an important
practically it's the same. It's just missing that last. Tiny.
It's just a little something with the low end. A lot of the time it's the low end on the compressors that just sounds, it's just more open. Something about it is just more open. Yeah.
I've noticed that as well. And I know that this is a clone and a cheaper compressor, but the Golden Age LA-2A clone is the same thing. Like there's something about it that plugins can't do a lot with the low end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I find that to be true and cool. Is there another one or what are you thinking?
There's a bunch. I mean,
do you have a VCA type that you really like? Do you use? Oh, let's start with this. Do you use mixed bus compression or bus compression a lot?
So not in serial, like not just straight on. So like I actually do like parallel mixed bus compression. And what I use for that is the, I'm giving away my secret, so here we go.
Good. This is good content.
What I use is the Isotope Vintage Limiter. And then I also use, I think, the Imager from Ozone before it, just to give a little bit of width.
And with that Vintage Limiter, there is no mix wet knob on that one. So you would have to actually parallel that physically.
Yeah. I have another aux that's just also set to the mix bus input, and then I just turn it down and just do whatever the settings I want.
All right, which setting on the vintage limiter?
Usually tube. Usually tube, and then I'll just crank the threshold down.
Really? Oh, I guess it's parallel.
Yeah, it's parallel, and it's just kind of doing, you know, it's doing a thing. So it's almost riding the whole mix in a way, right? So like the choruses hit, it's gonna clamp down more, and the verses it's not gonna be as loud, right? Typically, and so it'll kind of let up a little bit. Mm-hmm. So I kind of get a little bit of a built-in sort of leveling, but you know, I'll still obviously do my automation inside of the session to get the growth between the sections and stuff, yeah. Right? But it's just one of those things that just adds a really kind of cool vibe. It kind of brings your effects and just this kind of sauce that's just swirling around kind of mm-hmm. in the bottom. So you use it sparingly. I don't usually turn it up a lot. It's usually like, I don't know, around like 15, 16 dB or something lower.
Yeah. A lot of times to get that, like you mentioned, like getting movement and growth, because I do a lot of mastering exclusively lately.
Yeah.
And I'll just automate on the way into the processing.
Oh, yeah.
I'll do parallel once in a while, but mm-hmm. it doesn't always work. It really depends who's mixed the record and what they were after.
Yeah, absolutely. And feel free. I mean, if you guys want to try it, feel free to do parallel. Or not do parallel. Do automation on that track. So automate it. If you want that a bit more of it in the chorus, ooh, push it up, pull it back more idea. In the verse. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not doesn't have to be a static sort of thing.
That's a gem right there. Actually, yeah. That's a big gem. I don't know why I haven't done that. I've just been doing static movements on like the mix bus or on different buses.
Yeah, it's a cool thing, man.
I'm taking that home. I'm taking that home and riding with it. Okay, cool.
Literally riding the fader with it.
Yeah, I mean, you really can.
That's absolutely. So fun. I find myself recently doing a lot more parallel as well over the years. Mm-hmm. I really like the sound of instead of taking off the transients, instead of taking off from the peaks, you're kind of bringing in the valleys.
Yeah.
I do like that sound for many things. Have you experimented with, how do you feel about hardwired or built-in wet dry knobs versus smashing it and adding another aux or something? Do you think that sounds different?
Not usually. I can't say that I've ever A-B'd that specifically. Most of the time I don't usually have a problem with it. If that changes, I'll let you know.
Yeah. You suddenly get an email like, my opinion has shifted.
Yeah, right. Look for the update.
So that's awesome.
I'll be honest. I feel like I have heard a difference, but it's always been different depending on the developer.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's one static way of going about it, and I think that's why.
And I also think it's because of like the volume change too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's like not always matched up and everything. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I remember I was trying out a plugin recently, and I found that its auto gain compensation was really far off from accurate. So the more I processed, I was like, why does it suddenly just stand out too much? Like I'm compressing the hell out of this with the mix dry. And every time I went to dry, it would just get quieter. I was like, what the hell is this?
Yeah. There's a couple plugins that do that for sure.
That's a usually missed one. So maybe if we level it ourselves and then mix dry, maybe then, I don't know, but...
So we got one secret out of you, Tyler. We got the vintage limiter here. Actually, on that note, let's take a moment here.
His underwear are.
Wait, what?
What's that?
That was the other secret. You didn't hear it? He told us what color his underwear are. If you guys know, just type it in the comments. I'll send you $20.
Actually, this is a great time to take a pause for a second and talk about our sponsor because we are sponsored by iZotope and we would love to do. We're so very grateful for iZotope and thankful for them.
They're the best.
There you go. You want to say a couple words on our behalf? I mean,
iZotope, I love you.
There you go.
I want to have a baby with you.
We do love iZotope and the vintage limiter specifically in the Ozone Advanced, package, which you can get 10% off or by download everything for their monthly subscription bundle. You can get the first month free of that or get 10% off of any outright purchases if you go to iZotope.com/MMPodcast. Once again, that's iZotope.com/MMPodcast. I also love Isotope, so this is one of my favorite sponsors to do.
Things to check out from Isotope. Here we go. Grab a pen and paper, I'll tell you. Ozone is great. All the little different modules inside of it, the maximizer is great, different things. Use sparingly. Less is more.
Mm-hmm.
The Neutron is great. The transient designer inside of Neutron, I use it all the time. Absolutely.
Ooh, that's one
all
of those secret ones.
And the exciter inside of it. Both of them all the time. Where there's one, there's usually another one.
The Neutron exciter and the Neutron transient designer are my two favorites. And have you heard the, have you experimented with the new ones, like the low end focus on Ozone?
I have a little
master
bit.
Master rebalance.
It's very interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Very interesting. It's kind of like phasey. I don't
know
what it's doing.
Yeah. I'm not sure, but you know, I had to do like a quick two-track type thing, and the bass was ridiculously loud on this instrumental. Popped that guy on, turned it down a little bit, and off we were.
There you go.
It was great. I mean, it
I'll
did
usually
what I
use
needed
it
to
for
do.
A final process, but I won't use it necessarily in a mixing process.
That's true.
Like, if the same thing, if I have a two track that I had to deal with, I'll throw it on that. But if I have full stems and everything, I'll find it on my master bus. But,
oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think the best thing. So what is another? So we were talking about your first Tyler Secret here, which was the Vintage Limiter. Do you have another Tyler Secret that we don't have to dig for that you're just willing to tell
secret.
Us?
Something
that works really well for you.
Works really well for me. Just don't overdo it, I think, with compression. Just try, you know, focusing on the basics first. And it sounds like, you know, do the basics. That'll get you everywhere you're going to go. Yeah. But no, honestly, it's like when I start every mix, I'm going through. I'm usually just clip gaining stems up and down, kind of finding a balance that way, not kind of leaving my faders around zero-ish. That's if how I have people deliver stems to me is like I always have them start off kind of where they left off with the rough, right? So all the faders are at zero. I usually clip gain everything down so I have enough headroom, just kind of gain stage the session. Then I'll start kind of just going in, clip gaining stems up and down, finding a balance. Then I'll listen to what I'm kind of don't like or what I need to notch out of different things. Grab an EQ, Pro Q3 from FabFilter, use it every day of my life. Go in to kind of cut out a couple of things. And then from there, I might add some saturation, add some color, different places. Spectre is a great tool for that. Saturn from FabFilter is a great tool for that. Neutron's Exciter is a great tool. Whatever kind of tool you like. I mean, there's the classic decapitator. It's like, You can't get away from it. It's just great. It's a vibe.
How do you like to use the decapitator?
Oh, man. I'll throw it on a vocal, just like bring it up the drive knob to like a 2 and just like usually on the first setting or like the Neve setting. I think it's the N or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And just let it kind of add a little bit of like a little bit of grit, a little bit of brightness. Might put that on the drum bus. Or a snare.
Keep it 100% wet. Just
100% wet. Yeah. Or I might go a little bit harder and pull back. It's a creative tool. So that one, there's kind of no rules to it, but
that's dope. That's great.
Yeah.
And, lastly, I think this is a question that I like to ask, and I think it's very important for everybody in the industry. How do you attempt or try to find balance between personal and work life?
I think you just have to be intentional about having, most of the time for engineers, you have to be intentional with having a personal life more so than having a work life, right? So it's like, say, hey, I'm not going to work on Sundays. I'm going to stop working at this time. Now, if you're a tracking engineer, you might not have as much of the freedom because you're kind of at the, you know, the whim of the artist, depending on where you are, what stage you are in your career. But as a mixer, if I'm kind of setting my own hours kind of thing, mastering engineers as well, you get a little bit more freedom to say, hey, this is how I want to work. This is how I want to live my life. And I think that's important. You know, we need to have our own lives, have experience to help recharge our own creativity, right?
Yeah.
Kind of give us some life and experiences to draw off of. It's much like an artist writing a song. So, yeah, it's important. So just be intentional about it.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. You have to, like, truly want a day off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we were talking about, Lou and I, we were talking about it just today, actually, about,
yeah.
I mean, you say in the last few days you were overworking. Like, for me, the past few weeks, I've accidentally overworked as well.
Yeah.
And I say accidentally on purpose because if I don't do it intentionally,
mm-hmm. yep.
if I don't set my boundaries,
mm-hmm.
I'll accidentally just keep working. Yeah. I don't know how to stop.
Now, I remember Saturday night, Anna wanted to go to a costume party that her family was hosting. I was like, you know what? Halloween's my favorite holiday, and I don't feel like I've done enough Halloween-y stuff this month. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and stop what I'm doing. I just, like, grab my stuff. Turned off the computer, left. I'm like, I'm going to go enjoy my night. Then the next day, it was Sunday, so I didn't work. And the work that I did do, I did it from home. I'm not going to the studio. Everybody that called me, sorry, I'm not in.
And when you came back on Monday, everything was fine, right?
I mean, I did see a cat on fire, but I don't know how the cat got in. But I had to say that was the best fried cat I've ever tasted.
Well, there you go.
So, yeah, and that's the secret, too. This is, I've been talking about, I don't think I've said this on the podcast yet, but with the marketing company that I own, the CEO was out here this last week, and we had dinner together. Shout out to Johnny and Launchpod Media. But Johnny was very, one of the things I really liked about Johnny's management style is that he told all of us, because it was a white glove marketing company, very high-end, expensive companies, you know, B2B more so than anything else, and he would tell all the other owners as well as the employees of all various levels, if a client calls you outside of working hours, so Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, if they call you past 5 on Monday through Friday or on a Saturday and Sunday, they email you, no matter how much of an emergency it may seem, you are not allowed to respond. So kind of made this boundary. And you know what? Just like when we call the post office or any company that does customer service only Monday through Fridays and we call in on a Sunday, we're going to be upset about it for about 30 seconds, mm-hmm. and then we're going to call in on Monday and figure it out on their time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll forget that was ever an issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we deserve, you know, personal time just as much as everybody else. And we can get burnt out just like artists can get burnt out, just like producers, songwriters, a CEO of a company. So we shouldn't feel guilty about taking personal time.
You know, the funny thing that we always talk about being burnt out as people, but we forget that we can burn ourselves out of our want to be in something that was literally the driving force of why we put in so much time to Absolutely. Get to where we are. I remember at one point I told DK, I was like, you know, the crazy part is I love what I do, but sometimes I just don't want to do it at all. Yeah. Like, you ever have a long day, you work, you're on your drive home, you're like, I want silence. Today, I don't want to hear music. That's I just often. Want to go home.
And then often. Chocolate comes up. Well, in your
wait,
car.
Give me chocolate?
Yeah. What's the first song? Every time, the first song on your phone, every time
oh,
it plugs
yeah.
in?
So in yeah. my car. So I worked on two records that were especially special to me. Mm. One of them was my first plaque win, which was with Kalani and Keisha Cole, All Me.
Ooh,
and the other one was with this artist, Ari Lennox, and she was featured on a song on Kiana Ledé's album called Chocolate.
Hey.
And that's the first song that pulls that up song. Every single
Actually,
time
it's
you
between the two of those.
Oh,
so it always changes.
Shuffle.
Yeah. So every time I get in my car, I have a Honda Civic hatchback, like a 2019 or 2020. I don't know what the hell it is, but it's a nice little vehicle. But when you plug in your phone, it has the Apple CarPlay thing yep. on the screen. And I guess because Apple wants to monopolize the music side of your phone, every time you plug it in, it immediately plays whatever you've purchased before.
Mm. And the
thing is, I've
purchased.
Only purchased two songs on iTunes because I don't use iTunes. Yeah, so every time I get in my car, it either goes, can you tune it on me? Can you tune it on me? Or it goes, beep, 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 boop, boop, beep, boop, beep.
Don't
every time.
It?
And it's the most frustrating thing after a long
I've
day.
I've heard it at least 20 times as well.
Yeah, like they're good starts to a song, but when you're tired of listening to music at all day, they're the funniest starts to a song.
For me, it was A-Team by Ed Sheeran.
Oh, my God.
That was the first song that I would just play every time I get in the car.
Now, will you join me in sounding out the intro?
It's just, it's like a guitar riff. I just can't. I don't ever want to hear the song again. I love the song, but I just can't. It was like for 2 years. It was rough.
There's so on that note, I think we're really grateful for everybody here. The last thing that we want to say is, what is your social media? How could people reach out to you or find you and potentially even book you in future projects?
You guys can hit me up. My Instagram is Tyler J. Scott. That's TylerJScott. And on there, you can find my email address. My website is, everything is there. So
can we invite people to DM you with questions?
DM me with questions. I'm there. My DMs are open. Hit me up.
There you go.
Nice.
Thank you so much for joining us on this episode. We're really glad that you came.
Thank you for having me, D. And Lou.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, guys.
So on that note, if you haven't already subscribed to us on YouTube, or if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a 5-star review. That helps us a lot. We have a Discord where you can throw in your mixes. We have about 500 people in there in this moment while we're recording. And it's really, really great. Again, we live stream on Monday nights. Lou and I have a bunch of PDFs out for free via mixingmusicpodcast.com. We have a bunch of discounts and sponsors on the website. Feel free to visit that. Bunch of free content. I already said that. Happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
1, 2, 3.
There are so many amazing free plugins available for download right now to help you with your production and mixing. Go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/plugins to download and get access to a bunch of free and premium plugins on Plugin Boutique. Happy mixing, my friends, and enjoy the show.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the place where Black is the main character, where we dive into something new like the latest season of Them, The Scare, and the award-winning American Fiction. Or add to the experience by buying or renting the biopic of a legend, Bob Marley, One Love. And add on channels like Paramount Plus and Stars to bask in nostalgia with Beverly Hills Cop and BMF. Explore Prime Video's culture-rated collection and enjoy old-school greats and new-school hits. Restrictions apply. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.